Good evening. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi opens an official impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump.
I'm announcing the House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry. I'm directing our six committees to proceed with their investigations under that umbrella of impeachment inquiry. The president must be held accountable. No one is above the law.
And another presidential whistleblower says protection of the source is now key. With these and other stories, I'm Paul DiRienzo with the news for Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. On Tuesday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced the House is moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry of United States President Donald J. Trump. If an impeachment were to occur, it would be only the third time in the nation's history a president has been impeached. The other two, Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton, were acquitted after trial before the Senate. Pelosi made the statement at about 5 p.m. Tuesday afternoon.
Last Tuesday, we observed the anniversary of the adoption of the Constitution on September 17th. Sadly, on that day, the Intelligence Community Inspector General formally notified the Congress that the administration was forbidding him from turning over a whistleblower complaint on Constitution Day. This is a violation of law. Shortly thereafter, press reports began to break of a phone call by the President of the United States calling upon a foreign power to intervene in his election. This is a breach of his constitutional responsibilities. The facts are these. The Intelligence Community Inspector General, who was appointed by President Trump, determined that the complaint is both of urgent concern and credible. And its disclosure, he went on to say, relates to one of the most significant and important of the Director of National Intelligence's responsibility to the American people. On Thursday, the Inspector General testified before the House Intelligence Committee, stating that the acting Director of National Intelligence blocked him from disclosing the whistleblower complaint. This is a violation of law. The law is unequivocal. The DNI staff, it says the DNI, Director of National Intelligence, shall provide Congress the full whistleblower complaint. For more than 25 years, I've served on the Intelligence Committee as a member, as the ranking member, as part of the Gang of Four, even before I was in the leadership. I was there when we created the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. That did not exist before 2004. I was there even earlier in the 90s when we wrote the whistleblower laws and continue to write them to improve them to ensure the security of our intelligence and the safety of our whistleblowers. I know what their purpose was, and we proceeded with balance and caution as we wrote the laws. I can say with authority the Trump administration's actions undermine both our national security and our intelligence and our protections of the whistleblowers, more than both. This Thursday, the acting DNI will appear before the House Intelligence Committee. At that time, he must turn over the whistleblower's full complaint to the committee. He will have to choose whether to break the law or honor his responsibility to the Constitution. On the final day of the Constitutional Convention in 1787, when our Constitution was adopted, Americans gathered on the steps of Independence Hall to wait the news of the government our founders had crafted. They asked Benjamin Franklin, "What do we have, a republic or a monarchy?" Franklin replied, "A republic, if you can keep it. Our responsibility is to keep it. Our republic endures because of the wisdom of our Constitution, enshrined in three co-equal branches of government, serving as checks and balances on each other. The actions taken to date by the President have seriously violated the Constitution, especially when the President says, Article 2 says I can do whatever I want. For the past several months, we have been investigating in our committees and litigating in the courts so the House can gather all the relevant facts and consider whether to exercise its full Article 1 powers, including a constitutional power of the utmost gravity, approval of articles of impeachment. And this week, the President has admitted to asking the president of Ukraine to take actions which would benefit him politically. The actions of the Trump presidency revealed the dishonorable fact of the president's betrayal of his oath of office, betrayal of our national security, and betrayal of the integrity of our elections. Therefore, today, I'm announcing the House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry. I'm directing our six committees to proceed with their investigations under that umbrella of impeachment inquiry. The president must be held accountable. No one is above the law. Getting back to our founders, in the darkest days of the American Revolution, Thomas Paine wrote, "The times have found us. The times found them to fight for and establish our democracy. The times have found us today. Not to place ourselves in the same category of greatness as our founders, but to place us in the urgency of protecting and defending our Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic." In the words of Ben Franklin, to keep our republic. I thank our chairman, Chairman Nadler of Judiciary, Chairman Schiff of Intelligence, Chairman Engel of Foreign Affairs, Chairman Cummings of Oversight, and Chairman Cummings I've been in touch with constantly. He's a master of so much, but including inspectors general and whistleblowers. Congresswoman Richie Neal of the Ways and Means Committee, Congresswoman Maxine Waters of the Foreign Financial Services Committee. And I commend all of our members, our colleagues, for their thoughtful approach to all of this, for their careful statements. God bless them, and God bless America. Thank you all.
And President Trump fired off three tweets within moments of Pelosi's statement. He tweeted, "Presidential harassment," in all caps and an exclamation mark, followed 4 minutes later by, "They never even saw the transcript of the call, a total witch hunt." And Pelosi, Nadler, Schiff, and of course Maxine Waters, "Can you believe this?" A moment later, Trump tweeted a video of a 90-second campaign spot attacking the Democrats.
For you, do you personally think impeachment should be considered?
I think it should.
Is we begin impeachment proceedings now.
And that we've got to impeach him and get rid of him.
My sole focus right now is to make sure that he's not the president next term.
We're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the motherfucker.
We're going to launch an Article 3 impeachment.
In the question of impeachment, it's about time.
Nadler is, I hope he's not following the rules.
Congress should take the steps towards impeachment.
We're going to have to prosecute this.
We're going to have to do it. We're going to have to impeach.
Impeachment is still on the table?
Absolutely. It's always on the table.
We cannot accept a second term for Donald Trump.
If we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time to stop this nonsense. They think they're going to win. Did you see the one man? He said it's the only way we're going to beat him in 2020. They have to do this. The only way. Well, that's a compliment, I guess. But think of what he said. It's the only way they're going to beat me. And actually, it's working the other way, because now we have our best poll numbers that we've ever had. It's crazy. It's crazy.
One more year. One more year. One more year. One more year.
And that was the new ad just released moments ago by President Trump on his Twitter feed. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy was scheduled to respond from the Capitol Rotunda at any moment. And the United States Senate opened its own investigation into the Trump administration's dealings with Ukraine on Tuesday. The Senate Intelligence Committee is conducting the inquiry and is seeking an interview with the whistleblower who filed the initial complaint with the intelligence community's inspector general. It was not immediately clear whether the White House will agree to let the official be questioned. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff said the whistleblower's lawyer informed him the official would, quote, like to speak to our committee and has requested guidance from the acting Director of National Intelligence on his appearance, which could come as soon as this week. The acting head of National Intelligence, Trump appointee Joseph McGuire, has refused to hand over the complaint to Congress, but is slated to appear before Schiff's committee on Thursday. And Daniel Ellsberg, the former defense analyst and whistleblower who leaked the Pentagon Papers, the secret State Department review of the Vietnam War that showed the government knew the conflict was a lost cause, even as they were telling Americans they were on the verge of winning, has a statement to make himself. Facing a century in prison, Ellsberg gave reporters for the Washington Post and New York Times copies of the documents that were soon published. Criminal charges against Ellsberg were dropped when it was discovered the administration of President Richard Nixon had been spying on him and had broken into the offices of his psychiatrist looking for dirt. Ellsberg says the whistleblower who made the complaint about Trump's conversation with Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky is facing a moment when courage means everything.
I have, of course, been in the position of this whistleblower, whoever she is or he is, okay? And I had similar choices to make. Now, in this case, the whistleblower, we'll just say they, has chosen to work entirely at first through channels, doing what the whistleblower laws require and what their own safety from prosecution requires. In other words, the whistleblower so far is safe from prosecution because they have done what the law demands, and that is that they go to the attorney inspector general, that they complain to their own bosses, they go to the inspector general, and they rely on him to inform Congress of their information, complaint, accusation, if he judges it to be urgent and credible, as he has. Now, so far, that whistleblower has taken no risks of prosecution, although genuine risks of a career, if their identity becomes known, which in the past has been likely to happen, and they suffer for it. So the whistleblower has already shown some real courage and patriotism here in taking a risk. However, it has not informed the Congress or the public. The director of Central Intelligence has yielded here to a judgment from the Trump Office of Legal Counsel, the Trump Justice Department, which has generally up to now looked pretty corrupt, as a acting almost as a personal lawyer for the president in the face of credible evidence of presidential malfeasance. What should the whistleblower do at this point? If it is as important in her eyes or his eyes as she appears to think so far, then I would say, from my own experience and judgment, this, let's call her she, but they should strongly consider risking her own freedom, her own career, her own reputation, to inform the public, to inform the Congress, to enable them to fulfill their constitutional obligations by going to Congress directly, revealing herself, going to Congress directly, and if Congress holds it up, telling the public. In fact, I would say go to the media at the same time as the Congress under these circumstances. I would not advise the whistleblower to short-circuit the congressional process here, and I would wait, if I were her or him, to see if Congress can't use its own constitutional powers to get that information. But if they fail, as they have so far, if they continue to fail, then go to them directly and go to the press directly and inform the public. The price may be very large. Personally, I faced a possible sentence of 115 years for doing that, and I took that risk, and I think I was right to do so. And Ed Snowden has accepted permanent exile, essentially, for having informed the public of criminal action by the National Security Council. National Security Agency, NSA. Clearly criminal. Chelsea Manning revealed clearly criminal activity in terms of torture, and paid for that with 7.5 years in prison. yes, this person could be risking a prison sentence. Not certain, because it's clearly right for her to reveal criminality if she believes that has occurred and has evidence for it, by the president. But she would do that at her own risk, and what I'm saying is that risk could be worth taking and could be very beneficial to our democracy. So I'm not aware of anybody else, and I'm the one who's in best position to raise that issue right now. What the whistleblower should do or should consider doing if Congress fails to get this information, and not only the transcription of this call, which the president may deliver, but all of the acts that the whistleblower has alluded to that seem to reveal a pattern of criminality.
Ellsberg adds that Nixon considered destroying the incriminating tapes he had made of White House meetings when the House began its impeachment investigation of the Watergate break-in and its cover-up. Ellsberg says Trump is just as capable of destroying evidence.
Is it beyond question that he would clearly obstruct justice or clearly violate the Constitution here by just destroying evidence that the House has asked for and is entitled to get? Well, of course he might do that. You can't put any limit, I would say any limit at all, on what he might do to preserve his reputation. Well, he doesn't care that much about his reputation with people other than his base, but to keep in office and to avoid prosecution, he is very concerned. So, of course, he might do that. And as I say, Nixon might very well have gotten away with that. And he would probably get away with it in terms of the Senate. The Republicans so far, as far as I can see, have not shown the slightest willingness to hold him accountable to the Constitution or to the law. In effect, they are enabling and abetting a strict violation of the Constitution. And they should be ashamed, but then we have a president who is shameless, and it might appear that the Republicans in the House, in the Senate, are equally shameless. And for that matter, in the House, they haven't joined this in the House so far. That, again, has slowed up Pelosi to this point. She wanted it to be a bipartisan matter, and so far there's no prospect of that. But because the Republicans in the House, as well as the Senate, are both shameless and lawless, they have no instinct at all, apparently, to uphold the law or the Constitution here. But that puts it on the Democrats to protect the Constitution and the power of Congress, and it seems as though at last they're stepping up to that.
Ellsberg gives a history lesson describing how Watergate unfolded after the Saturday night massacre when Nixon ordered the firing of the special prosecutor investigating Watergate. He said it parallels the case against Trump.
Attorney General Elliot Richardson refused to do that and had to resign or was fired. He was replaced by Ruckelshaus, who also refused to fire the special prosecutor. And the issue there was whether they would get the tapes. Then, when because of enormous public protest at that point, what was known as the Saturday against what was known as the Saturday Night Massacre, there was what Haig called a firestorm of protest, of telegrams and phone calls at that time, and he really had to hire another special prosecutor, after all, who in turn demanded the tapes. And that went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ordered him to comply. And at that point, it wasn't quite clear whether it was in question, whether Nixon would actually comply with that or not. But in the end, after some hesitation, he did say he would comply with the Supreme Court. Notice the Supreme Court got into it. In this case, so far, no court has ruled on it. But in short, over and over again in Watergate, there was very much the president resisted very strongly giving various documents over to Congress, and in the end capitulated, and that led to his facing impeachment, and he resigned instead of putting the country through an impeachment process, which he was almost sure to lose. Now, the big difference there is that he would have lost in the Senate then with the help of Republicans who would have turned against him. Goldwater, Senator Goldwater and others told him that Republicans would vote against him in the Senate. We have no such indication now. So in this case, the president can feel quite assured that he will not actually be convicted. But at the same point, he would be impeached, which is like indictment, but he wouldn't be convicted. However, the process of the impeachment would almost surely bring out people, bring out evidence that would impugn him very seriously, would probably incriminate him. And even though the Senate then acquitted him, the question is, a question is how that would affect voters, and would it bring Republican voters to the polls in such numbers as to reelect him? That's obviously what Nancy Pelosi worries about. But we do have a question there where if you don't impeach him, the House is, in hopes of an electoral result, is ignoring or passing up very clear violations of his oath of office and the Constitution. It appears that the Democrats are now ready to take whatever risk there is in impeaching him in terms of the election in order to take a stand.
And Daniel Ellsberg is the former defense analyst and whistleblower who leaked the Pentagon Papers, the secret State Department review of the Vietnam War. And you're listening to the news on WBAI Pacifica Radio in New York. I'm Paul D'Arienzo. Freedom of Information Act files released to the Guardian newspaper show the FBI has embarked on anti-terrorism-style investigations against environmental activists in the United States. The Guardian says hundreds of pages of documents it received showed more than a dozen activists had come under FBI scrutiny in cases opened in 2013 and 2014 at the height of opposition to fossil fuel expansion projects. The government's targeting of protesters occurred despite 2010 criticisms of the FBI's practices by the Department of Justice Inspector General. In 2015, the Obama administration rejected the Keystone XL pipeline project, which required State Department approval because it would cross international borders, handing the environmental movement a major victory. Donald Trump has subsequently approved construction of the Keystone XL and Dakota Access pipelines, and his administration has also advocated for stiffer penalties against activists who engage in nonviolent direct action targeting fossil fuel infrastructure. The FBI files showed a concerted campaign against Idaho-based group protesting so-called megaload transport of equipment destined for Canadian oil shale fields. An organizer with the group was put on a watch list, a common occurrence in an FBI domestic terrorism investigation. And finally, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned global leaders Tuesday of the looming risk of the world splitting in two, with the United States and China creating rival internets, currency, trade, financial rules, and their own zero-sum geopolitical and military strategies. In his annual State of the World address to the General Assembly's gathering of heads of state and government, Guterres said, "The risk may not yet be large, but it is real. We must do everything possible to avert the great fracture and maintain a universal system, a universal economy with universal respect for international law, a multipolar world with strong multilateral institutions," he told presidents, prime ministers, monarchs, and ministers from the UN's 193 member states. Guterres painted a grim picture of a deeply divided and anxious planet facing a climate crisis, the alarming possibility of armed conflicts in the Gulf, spreading terrorism, rising populism, and exploding inequality. His speech was followed by the traditional first speaker, Brazil, represented by its new president, Jair Bolsonaro, and the United States, represented by President Donald Trump. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who is scheduled to speak later, said he was returning to London immediately afterwards, where he will face the fallout of a court ruling against his decision to shut down Parliament over the crucial countdown to the country's withdrawal from the European Union. The United Nations, designed to promote a multilateral world, has struggled in the face of increasing unilateralism by the U.S. and other nations that favor going it alone. Trump stressed in his speech that love of our nation makes the world better for all nations. The future does not belong to globalists, he said. The future belongs to patriots. And that's some of the news for Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. The news was produced with Linda Perry. Our engineer is Reggie Johnson. For the WBAI Evening News, I'm Paul DiRienzo.